Please be seated. I get kind of fascinated by the intersection of the calendar of the culture in which we live in and the church's calendar. Sometimes they're in sync and sometimes they come into conflict with one another. Today is a kind of a convergence of all kinds of things on both the secular and the sacred calendars. Today is a big feast day. You know why? It's Super Bowl Sunday. I heard on the radio this morning that 100 million people in this country are expected to watch Kansas City play San Francisco tonight. Now that is a major feast day, isn't it? How many of you are planning a Super Bowl party for tonight? Okay, a few. So it is a big day. Culturally, societally, it is a big day. There is another cultural feast day that happens today as well. Groundhog Day. And were Punxsutawney Phil a resident of Boston, he would not have seen his shadow this morning, which means it's going to be a short winter. Yay. Actually, Groundhog Day is far closer to the church's liturgical calendar, our sacred calendar, than is Super Bowl Sunday. It is an accident that this feast day that we celebrate today, the presentation of our Lord in the temple, falls on a Sunday. It is always on February 2nd, otherwise known as Groundhog Day, but let's face it, only about once every 7 years does that fall on a Sunday when it takes precedence over the readings that we ordinarily would have heard today. Now, how many of you thought Christmas was over? Have you gotten rid of all your decorations? Wrong. Wrong. Today is actually part of the Christmas cycle of the church's sacred calendar. Did you notice that we sang a Christmas hymn coming in this morning? You're probably thinking, what? I thought we left that behind about a month ago. And this is where the secular calendar comes into conflict with the sacred calendar, because according to the secular calendar, you start to celebrate Christmas somewhere along about the 1st of October, right? Because it's all the retail stuff, and in the stores, the trees start to go up and the ads start to come out to get you all hyped up about all of the presents that you have to buy, and there is the countdown to December 25th, and then it's all over with. And on December 26th, you see the trees starting to come out to the curb, and all the wrapping paper fills up the garbage cans and all that. And as far as the secular culture is concerned, Christmas is over and done with, right? In the sacred calendar, Christmas is really only beginning. There is that prelude time of the season of Advent, but that is leading up to the Christmas season, which we know as 12 days of Christmas, right? You all know that song. And so there's the 12 days of Christmas, but actually, February 2nd is part of the Christmas calendar. And here's why. I promise this won't be a long sermon. It is Super Bowl Sunday after all, and you have your annual meeting. But you have to, don't panic, you have to go all the way back to the story of the Exodus to get here today. And here's why. You will remember that the Hebrew people were held in slavery in Egypt for a long time. They were held there making bricks for the Egyptians so that they could build and build and build. And you know what happened. God does not like it when people are held in bondage. And so there were plagues. Remember the 10 plagues that happened in Egypt? The Nile turned to blood. There were frogs, there were lice, there were flies, there was a pestilence on all the livestock, there was hail, there were boils on people, there was a swarm of locusts, and there was thick darkness over everything, a total eclipse. You would think that might have sent a signal to the Egyptians that something was going wrong, because bad things happen when you hold people in bondage. But they still didn't get it. They said, oh, the economy's good. We need all this cheap labor. We're living pretty well here. We're eating pretty well here. Let's just go on about our business and maybe all this will pass. That's what they said after the 9th plague. But there was one more coming, and you will remember that that was the worst plague of all. In every household, every Egyptian household, the firstborn died. But the Hebrew people were told to put the blood of a lamb across the lintel of their door, and that God would pass over their houses with that plague. The Egyptians finally got the message, and they said, get out of here. We don't need you people and your God stirring up all this trouble. We have suffered far more than we ever thought we could. Just go. Of course, they changed their mind a couple of days later and went pursuing them. And you know what happened then? The Red Sea part of the Israelites went through. The waters came in. More Egyptians died. But they were on their way out of bondage and toward a promised land. The first thing they did after all of that was to say, we're going to make sure we are God's people. We're going to make sure that we don't forget that God gave us our freedom. And so they enacted a law, a canon, if you will, where they said the firstborn male child of our household, male children had way more rights than girl children did. The firstborn male child of every household will be dedicated to the Lord. And there was a ritual that went along that, a purification ritual that went along with it. And so it was a way of all of the Hebrew people saying, our freedom, our life belongs to God. And we're going to ensure that in every household that is remembered. And we're not going to make it an afterthought. We are going to make it our first thought. And so the firstborn child, the firstborn male child, is going to be dedicated to the service of God. Offering God their best and offering it first is the message. And so the canon, the law, prescribed that this would take place 40 days after the birth of the child, this purification ritual. Women were to be enclosed at home for a 40-day period after the birth of a male child. And so it was sort of a public coming out in the temple, bringing the child to be presented to the community. We still have that in our prayer book, in the thanksgiving for the birth or adoption of a child, often said privately in a hospital, but it can be said publicly on a Sunday morning, presenting the child to the community. I think it's page 437 or something like that. Look it up sometime, not yet, because you're listening to the sermon. So 40 days after the birth of Jesus, the Hebrew people liked the number 40 a whole lot. So 40 days, and if you count it from December 25th to February 2nd, guess what you get? 40 days. And that's what gets us to the Feast of the Presentation. It also has to do with how the followers of Jesus set their sacred calendars according to the secular calendars of the day, because most of the secular calendars of the day had to do either with the movements of the sun or the movements of the moon. And so the Christmas cycle is a solar cycle. December 25th is roughly the shortest, darkest day of the year. February 2nd is exactly halfway between Christmas and the vernal equinox, the spring equinox. And so this day, secularly, had to do with recognizing that spring was coming, that the days were getting longer, that you better get out in your garden and start getting rid of the dead stuff so that the plants could grow. And so it had to do with growth and light coming into the world, which is why the other name for this day is Candlemas, a day on which people brought their candles to be blessed so that when they took them home, every time they lit it, they would remember that Christ was bringing light into the world. All of which is to prove that Punxsutawney Phil is an Episcopalian. You heard it here first. If you've never, that groundhog knows something about seasons and not only secular calendars, but also liturgical calendars, because now the days start to lengthen. Now we can turn towards spring. That is what Lent actually means, the lengthening, the Lent of days towards the spring. Okay, enough fun facts about calendars. What does this day mean to you and me? What does it have to do with our lives? Whether it's Super Bowl Sunday or Groundhog Day or the presentation of our Lord or the purification of Mary or Candlemas or whatever you want to call it. The fact is, each one of us was presented in a temple as well. We were presented to the Christian community whenever we were baptized. We were brought in as an act of thanksgiving, and either our parents or in some cases we ourselves said, I want to follow in God's ways. I want to be a follower of Jesus. We were all presented to our community of faith. But it isn't just about being presented as a newborn to a community. It has to do with living out what the expectations are of that community, because at our baptisms, the entire community refreshes their baptismal vows. Vows that we will follow God, that we will follow in the way of Jesus. And that has most to do not with what happens when we come into church, but when we go out of church. Because we come here week after week to be nourished, to hear the words of Scripture, to learn about the ways of Jesus, to be fed and to seek to follow Jesus out into the world, to go and to be Christ in the world. The Eastern churches have a much stronger theology of deification than we do in the Western churches. They have an understanding that that practice of the faith, the study, the nurture, the feeding, the service, makes us more and more Christ-like if we follow in the way of Jesus. They say it is a path towards deification, towards holiness. And so what this day has to do with, above all else, is our practice of the faith since we were presented in the temple, and our opportunity to go out those doors every single day, regardless of what the day is on the calendar, and to be Christ to others, to do our best to pattern our lives after the way of Jesus, that we would, as he did, grow and become strong in the practice of our faith. And you know that there are multiple places that you can do that. You do it in your homes. You do it in your place of work. You do it in your school. You do it in your neighborhood. You do it as we craft a society that follows the ways of God. You do it in the ways that you pray and act for a world that follows God's peace and love. That's your task every day. You were presented here, and now you get to go out.